This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so excited to be with you guys today. And I tell you, the weather's slowly changing. It's so weird. The other day, we had like 60, 70 degree weather, and then all of a sudden, the next day, it was back down to 30 something. It's crazy. It's a crazy planet we live on, is it not? The weather patterns are just out of this world, out of control, as I say. So I'm glad you guys are with me today, and I hope you're enjoying your morning or your evening or your afternoon, whatever time of day it is for you. And I'm glad you decided to join in today to this amazing podcast and just hear what I have to say, what I call my food for thought on Thoughts Become Things. Because, you know, we talk a lot about everything is revolving around the scriptures of the Bible. And one of the things I highlight a whole lot is law of attraction, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we know that what you think in your heart, you become. What you think in your heart, you own, you have in your life, you attract, you draw, right? Because thoughts become things. And knowing that, we realize that when we begin to tap into the power of the Word of God, we begin to realize that not only do we think about things that we're desiring from God's will, but we have to learn to manifest those things. And some of the main difficulties that people have that I talk to every day is knowing how to manifest it. I remember a good friend of mine, Constance Arnold, we were talking, a long time ago, and I actually was one of her guests on her show a couple of years ago, and some of the things we were talking about basically is manifestation, that sometimes it's hard for people to have that connection between what it is I'm thinking versus what it is that I want in my held in my hand. And so the hardest thing for most people is the power of manifestation. And so I want to talk to you guys today from a biblical point of view about actually planning and being able to have a vision. So the key thing I'm going to call today's podcast is going to be plans must have a vision. Plans must have a vision. So I want us to take a scripture for a moment, because all this is coming and revolving around my new series I put out recently called Make the Vision Plain series. Make the Vision Plain series. And it basically is five of my best-selling books, which is actually three books and two dynamic workbooks that go with them. And in this series, I break down things such as, you know, how to create a vision board, how to create a vision, how to be able to plan, how to begin to create those ideas through the will of God for your life. Because some of the things that I discuss in these books are really things that people have asked me throughout the years in life coaching sessions. And so today I'm going to talk to you about really the connection of that, the connection of how to manifest, but we're going to talk about it through the place of planning and visioning and having a vision. Because if you think about it, you can sit here and dream all day long and try to manifest, but really all you're doing is just daydreaming, because there's no connection. Thoughts must have a connection. I don't want you to think about that. Thoughts must have a connection. If thoughts did not need a connection, then, you know, scientists say we think about between 60 and 65,000 thoughts per day. So if thoughts do not need any connection, then that means I'm going to be manifesting 65, at the bare minimum, 1,000 things every single day. Can you imagine? There's no way humanly possible that could ever happen on this planet through anyone. I don't care who you are. You can be Peter, James, John, Gandhi, you know, Buddha. You can be Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, I mean, come on. Well, you could be Jesus. Jesus can do it, right? But you get what I'm saying on this planet is there's laws that are governing this planet that basically let us know that there's certain things that we do, and there's certain things that, let's say, we have to be able to tap into the supernatural to manifest into the natural realm, right? And so manifestation holds a little bit of, not difficulty, but it holds a little bit of structure to it. So in order to manifest, you've got to begin to dive into the structure of making, you know, making the connection, connecting the dots, and knowing how to do that, right? And you think about it, Jesus didn't know how to do that. Because the truth is, he walked through walls. You know, walls are matter. And yet Jesus himself knew and understood that he could walk through walls because, you know, energy slowed down into matter. And yet he is the energy. He is the matter. He is everything. And so because of that, he knew that he could basically walk through whether we call it energy or matter, because he knew he could redefine it. And as he redefined it, he knew, because he's the author of that. Right? And so what does Jesus tell us? Greater things shall I do, or shall you do, because I go to the Father. Greater things can you do. So there's greater things inside of us that we can do, because Jesus ascended, sent the Holy Spirit, and now we have that ability, that strength and power to begin to manifest the things we need to manifest. But we have to have the connecting the dots to know how to do that. Right? So today I'm going to talk to you guys about those connections. And now one of the things that a lot of Christians quote is one of my favorite scriptures, and it's from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Now, I want you to hear this for a moment, because we're notorious for quoting scripture, but really making no connection to it whatsoever. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a bright future." Now, let me read this again for a moment. I want you to hear this for a moment. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a bright future." So if we read this scripture, the number one thing that many of you would probably pick out is, you know, hey, thank God, God's got plans for me, and he's going to prosper me, and I got a bright future. And I would dare to say this to you: don't focus on the prosper, and don't focus on the future or the hope. Now, those are important things, because those are the things we've been promised to do. But what we need to focus on is what he talked about within this scripture, okay? And that is this. He says, "For I know the plans." Okay, so stop right there. The plans. "I have for you, declares the Lord, plans," again, "to prosper you and not to harm you." Once again, plans to give you hope and a bright future. So here we see one, two, three. Three times he says plans. Now, I want us to think for a moment. We could say daydream on the word plans, because what plans mean is this, okay? And I want you to think about this for a moment, because the number one thing that we don't pay attention to is knowing what plans are, right? So if you think about the word plans, it means it's a method for doing or achieving something. Think about that. It's a method for doing or achieving something, right? And so a plan, another definition for plan, is a drawing or a diagram drawn on a plane. So we see here where there's a drawing or diagram drawn out, let's say, on a blueprint. So here's another definition for plan: a scheme or method of acting, doing, proceeding, or making. Now then, I want you to think about this for a moment when we talk about the word plan. Because here there's three times where God has said plan. Plan to do this, plan to do that. Well, let me ask you a question. If I look at you and I say, "I plan to go to the store today," does that mean I've accomplished it? Does that mean it's done? Does that means you're going to look at me and say, "Oh, praise God," or "Praise Jeremy, that's awesome. Wow, what did you get when you go to the store?" Would you do that? Or would, because if you did, you'd find me saying, "Let me rephrase this to you again. Listen closely. I'm planning, or I've planned to go to the store. My plan is to go to the store." Whether I say, "I'm planning to go to the store," "I plan to go to the store," whatever verb or whatever past and present tense you want to put it in, it doesn't matter, because I'm still saying, "I plan to go to the store today." What that means is I have set a purpose, I've made an achievement, or put it another way, I'm writing down on a blueprint of my imagination to hopefully make an achievement, which is, that's the plan to go to the store. So what most people don't pay attention to, and they get all excited about, "Oh, praise God, God's going to prosper me, God's giving me hope and a bright future," that is not what God said to you at all. God did not say he's going to give you hope and a bright future. He says, the plans I have for you is to give you hope and a bright future. So what's the difference? The difference is God's planned it, but he didn't say he's given it to you. Right? Another verse I talk about in my financial course that I really want to challenge all of you to get, it's called School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics, is the fact that within that course, I said these. I said these words. And that is, it says, without, let me think of the scripture I was going to tell you guys. It says that God's going to give us prosperity, right? But it says this. It says that it's held up. And what that means is it's held up. It's not loose to you. So in other words, it says, the scripture says this exactly. It says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Now, once again, here's another scripture that we get all excited about prosperity. And we say, you know, praise God, the wealth of the wicked is coming my way. And you know what's about to say? God never said that. He didn't. He said, the wealth of the wicked is laid up. Another version says, stored up for the wicked. I mean, for the righteous, excuse me. And what that means is this. It means it's stored up, it's laid up. It didn't say it's loosed, it says it's laid up. If something's laid up on a shelf, why am I getting all excited about it? What I need to get excited about is when I reach my hand up there with action, because faith without works is dead, right? Gotta have action. And so I reach up with action to grab what's laid up for me on the shelf, pull it down, and then I access it, and then I have power. Same scenario when people say, knowledge is power, knowledge is power. Not true at all. Knowledge is not power. There are thousands of people on this planet that are packed full of knowledge. I mean, they know so much knowledge and have so much not wisdom on things. But the truth is, it's doing them no good, because knowledge is not power. Activated, carried out knowledge is power. Okay? You cannot do anything on this planet, you can't have anything on this planet without action first. So what is our connection we're missing in the plans that God has for us? Because once again, He didn't tell me He's going to give me hope and bright future. He didn't tell me that He's going to give me prosperity. He says, I've created plans for you that this is what, you know, I want you to have. So what am I missing? Another verse, one of my favorite verses I say all the time, it says, without a vision, the people perish. Or another version says, without a vision, the people are restrained. It's in other words, if you don't have vision, you're held back, right? Without a vision, the people perish. So if I have a vision, then that's my action, because my vision is saying, I can see the plans you have for me, God. And yet most people, and it's interesting to me, because a lot of life coaching people, the people that I life coach, a lot of them own different programs we offer. And I encourage people, I say, hey, get on our prophetic word program. You want to hear God saying to you every month. And I know the people that are not. You know how I know the people that are not? Because those people are the same people that come back and forth to me all the time. In life coaching sessions, doesn't mean you can't, because I encourage you to, because we need to be consistent with hearing God. But it's prioritizing in your brain to understand the whole logistics of how to carry out the Word of God and what the Word of God needs to live look like in our daily activity and our routine. So what I tell people is, I say, interesting to me, because you come to me in life coaching sessions asking me what God is saying, but the key thing is, and that's great, you should, don't get me wrong, you should, by getting a prophetic word monthly, something outside of you to confirm what is already inside of you, and then have something new that God wants to tell you on top of that. Because God will always give you something new, and He'll always confirm. And so through that, here's the idea, is most people don't hear God for themselves and expect me to hear God and be the Holy Spirit for them. I don't allow that, because I'm not in competition with the Holy Spirit, right? Thank God. And what I find myself saying a lot is saying this. You know what? You, even if you do have prophetic words from me monthly, I've spoken to many of you in life coaching sessions, and I've heard you even in a session when I say something to the effect of, hey, this is what God has had on my heart. This is, you know, what God says to carry out. And what's funny is I will carry out confirmation of them on, this is what God showed me you already do now. Oh my God, yes, that's what I do for a living. Hey, by the way, do you have an older son? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a younger kid? Oh my God, I do. Or do they do this in life? Oh my gosh, that's so true. Do you have an aunt that, you know, that's sick? Oh my gosh, I do. And God gives them confirmation on top of confirmation. And literally, immediately following that, after God is saying, now then, now that I've got your attention, that what He's saying is truth, you know, that I'm the truth, then all of a sudden He said, you know, God begins to tell me, you know, so this is what God has for you as far as your work. And all of a sudden, a lot of people get so down and depressed at the moment. I can't do that. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Did God not bring confirmation 6 or 7 times, not even 10 or 15 seconds ago to you? That was right on, spot on. No one knew that. And yet all of a sudden you had faith to believe those things. And then God tells you the new, how to begin to prosper you. And put another way, God is telling you the plans to know how to make this thing work pretty much. And you're already saying, oh, I've never done that before. I'm not educated in that area. That's too much work. Spoke to a lady the other day. And I don't mind saying this because I spoke to a lady the other day. And she says, oh, I got to market what God's told me. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, honey, if you think God is going to do all the work for you and you just sit back and just gather the money, you're sadly mistaken. If you honestly think, I mean, I want you to think about this, folks. All through the Bible, God tells Elijah, get up and go to Zarephath. He didn't say, hey, Elijah, sit there like a couch potato. Don't do anything. I'm going to bring everything to you. No worries, because you're my favorite child. He never said that. He never told Moses, you just sit by that bush. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go take all the children of Israel out of there. I'm going to bring them to you. You have nothing to worry about. You just sit still, Moses. I know what you're dealing with. Got a lot on your plate. You just sit there, Moses, and don't worry about it. I'm going to bring all the children of Israel to you. No. He didn't tell Mary, hey, Mary, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You don't have to do anything at all. Don't worry about traveling to Bethlehem. You just sit here, stay in your hometown. Don't move. Don't do anything. And you're just going to birth forth this baby. In fact, I'm going to have you birth it forth with no pain whatsoever. I mean, it's going to pop out within 10 seconds. You're going to be like, whoa, look what God did. No, that's not how it happened. There is nowhere in the entire scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that God tells you that you do not have to put action behind something. And so when someone says, oh, I got to market that, I'm like, God love you. God love you that you have to do something or learn a new trait how to do it. You know, oh my God, I got to create a website for that. God love you that you have to actually do something. You know what I mean? I'm like, folks, the scripture makes it plain. How hungry and thirsty are you? Because if you're desperate and you're hungry and thirsting for when you say to me, oh, I'm really in a financial crunch. I don't know what to do. And God has just presented all this confirmation to you, but you're not willing to do what God wants. Then you know what? You're going to stay hungry. I'm not being ugly, folks. You're going to stay hungry. You're going to still beg God for finances. Oh, God, why me? Is it the devil? See, you would love to blame the devil, wouldn't you? You would love more than anything to blame the devil because I can blame somebody. Hello, Adam and Eve. Easily. Then take up responsibility. Take up the rod, Moses. Action. Put it over that Red Sea and something's going to happen. Right? Moses had to do that. Oh, Moses didn't have to market anything. Yes, he did, actually. Moses had to go and do action, present himself before Pharaoh, and basically market, for lack of better words, it's a cheap word to use, but we'll go there, market who God was to him. Hey, the great I am that I am has sent me, so I'm marketing God to show you, Pharaoh, who I serve and what's about to happen. So actually, guess what? Yes, he did. So you can't expect God to tell you something, folks, and not do anything about it. And so God is saying, yes, I have plans to prosper you. I have great blueprints for you. And you will hear those through prophetic words. You'll hear those through your prayer closet. You will hear the plans I have for you. But guess what? You can't stop there and just camp out. Because the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. You got to have a vision to the plans I've given you. There is your connection to this entire podcast that I'm presenting to you. You've got to have a vision for the plans. Well, I don't know what the plans are. Do you get prophetic words? Do you hear, are you doing life coaching sessions? Are you hearing God for yourself at your home? Hey, let me tell you something. There's times in my life where I've actually heard a couple things from God. And I'm like, I don't know what that looks like. And God's like, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But I don't want to make a mistake. Hello, pride and ego. I don't want to make a mistake, God. Why would you? Here's my question to you. Let me ask you an honest question. Why would we say that? Now, I used to be the person the same way. I don't want to make mistakes, God. Why would we say that to God? I don't want to make mistakes, God. The only reason why is because of ego and pride. Because then we think to ourselves, well, how would that make me look? Well, then people think I'm a failure. I will look like a failure to myself. Doesn't matter, folks. You gave your life to God. You died. You have no say-so of the matter. You died. When we die into Christ, we decrease, and God increases in us, right? We've gotten too Americanized. Jesus is not American, folks. He's not a white guy in a tux and a suit over here in corporate America. We're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who says, if you want to do something, you're going to have to sweat at the brow. That's what Adam did. You're going to have to work hard like Donna Summer once said in the 70s, you got to work hard for the money, right? Because you're going to have to be able to, oh my gosh, you're going to have to market yourself sometimes of what God has told you you're going to do. Yes, you're going to have to advertise. Yes, you're going to have to build a website. Yes, you're going to have to be able to redo your resume possibly. Yes, you're going to have to be able to do things that make you feel uncomfortable. God forbid we do anything in this nation that makes us feel uncomfortable, right? Because we're so spoiled that we don't understand God can stretch the borders of your imagination, and wisdom is crying out, it's screaming, please listen to me, catch me, listen to me. And so we don't want to educate ourselves anymore. We don't want to get wisdom and knowledge. And yet God is saying, then those plans are meaningless to you. Unfortunately, because those plans are written upon a blueprint, which is the tablets of your heart, but you're not willing to put vision behind it and see that and know how to begin to bring that vision out to the natural to make it work for you, to manifest it in your reality. Because if you don't, you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. And those who don't plan to fail. And so because of that, God is saying, I got good news for you. You don't even have to plan. I'll plan it for you. Hello, I'll plan it for you. In other words, I'll give you the plans. And all I'm asking of you is very simple. And that is, put action of your vision. Start feeling it, sensing it, knowing that it's real. But first, you got to know the plan and hear it, right? And so once you hear it, the moment you say you have doubt, like Sarah did with Abraham, she laughed. I mean, I'm old. I can't have a baby. And God's like, oh, really? You can't have a baby? Huh? At your age? And so that's what happened. And so you got to think of the reality that God is saying, I will even create plans for you, but you're going to have a vision for this. You're going to have to advertise it. You're going to have action to it. You're going to have to get off your rear end and do something about it. You can't sit on that couch expecting me to bring it to you. That's not how attraction works. That's not how magnetism works. That's not how manifestation works. That's not how thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to happen. Because the way that verse, even within the Lord's Prayer, is letting you know is, first of all, action is giving God praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. And then we get into the action. Action is, give us this day our daily bread. Why? God has given me daily bread, and yet he sits it before me. He's not going to spoon feed me. Here's a key thing, folks. This is like plan. God is not going to spoon feed you. That's not God's job to do is spoon feed you. He says, I'll give you your daily bread, but you're going to have action to it. Pick up that bread and eat it. Eat the portion I've given you that day, because if you don't, guess what? The kingdom is not going to be manifested in your life, because all that is one verse, or excuse me, one paragraph. All that, folks, is blended together in one prayer. So the kingdom can't come until you put action by taking in the daily dose God has for you, receiving prophetic words, hearing God for yourself, putting action behind, your faith, and putting action behind, your vision that you've cultivated with God. Because the Bible even says, without a vision, the people perish. It never says God's going to give you a vision, but God did say he'll give you the plans. Isn't that interesting? God did say, I have plans for you. Now, if you want to hear those plans, then I can tell you, but vision is what you're going to have to cultivate yourself. God never said, ever, 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 did he say, I'm going to give you a vision. Now, we're not talking about visions and dreams, folks, okay? Totally different than having a vision for your future. Unless you actually have this epiphany where God just sort of awakens you, you're walking down the street and all of a sudden, bam, you get this vision from God. That's a different story. That's a vision. That's dreams and visions, signs and wonders type of thing. But a vision for your future doesn't just come from God and it just zaps you to the ground, folks. He says, you got to get a vision. So my people that don't have a vision, you perish. And you can prophesy and you can scream and you can shout and you can bind every devil in hell, and it's still not going to do anything at all whatsoever in your life. You're just wasted energy when you can apply that energy towards the vision by cultivating one and then grabbing hold of the plans I want to give you that I already have for you and working the work and watch success and watch the will of God and watch everything begin to open up to you. And that way you're able to see the power of God. Think about even in Malachi, it says paying your tithes and offerings, that if you don't, he can't rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Another thing I pulled in my financial course, if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, he can't legally rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Because he says if you do pay your tithes and offerings, he would rebuke the devourer, which is the enemy, on your behalf. And so if you don't pay those, you consider and say, oh, I bind this, I bind that. And God's like, some quote-unquote binding is not something you can do. It's what I do. And your weapon, your tool to do that is your tithes and offerings, right? So there's so many things in the Bible that God, and it's really simplistic. It's not jumping through hoops. I'm really against the whole jumping through hoops and like you got to do step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. But all the scripture's talking about is not doing all these steps. What those verses are talking about is believe, create a vision, have action for what I've told you, and you could accomplish anything. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Right? But he won't give me strength if I'm not in him. Hello? So there's always, I don't want to use the word stipulations, but there's always something that he is saying. If you want to access everything I have for you, you have no choice but to work the work. Work the work, work the word, get some action, cultivate your own vision, hear from me, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, and then carry it out. Oh, but Lord, this is too hard. I got to watch YouTube videos to learn. I got to read books to learn. Poor baby. God love you. I mean, I don't mean it's bad, folks. I truly don't. But I don't feel sorry for you. I don't. I mean, I've been there before, and please don't take the wrong way. I don't feel sorry for you if that's the case. Because God is letting you know. He says, look, I mean, knowledge is increasing in the earth in the last days. And let yourself fulfill that verse alone. Here's how I tell people. Honor yourself enough. Respect yourself enough to want to learn. To where when God says, hey, you know, confirmation. And all of a sudden, right behind seven confirmations, I see in my spirit, you know, you opening up a restaurant. I see this. I see detail. And sometimes I give people detail. I see like God saying, you know, this is a person that's going to help you. God wants you to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden, that mentality of, oh, I don't know what to do about that. Well, how did you learn to, I don't know, go to the restroom? How did you learn to eat? How did you learn to put on clothes? How did you learn to tie your shoes? Guess what? You learned. You learned. God has given you an amazing opportunity in your life to be successful, to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. And we can't blame anyone. And you can, once again, you can come against the devil all you want to, stand on your head, pray in tongues backwards, whatever you've got to do, and it will do you no good whatsoever at all. Because the devil's not your problem. You become your own problem. Because you refuse to take up the mind of Christ and the power that dwells within you, which is the resurrected Spirit of God in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and you refuse to take that power up, the treasure in your earthen vessel, everything that God tells you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, all of those verses you nullify. And you disrespect all those things that God's placed in you, and you disrespect yourself by not allowing yourself to say, hey, I love that. I can run with that. I can learn. I can bust my rear end to begin to find out how to begin to make this work. And God's like, that's my son or daughter. Get a vision. Get a vision behind the plans I have for you. That way my plans will come to pass in your life through the vision you cultivate and make it reality. And then you can truly say, thy kingdom came on this earth as God already planned it in heavens through the vision God's given me. I hope today, guys, that this was hopefully enlightening, a encouraging message for you guys, because I stand strong and firm behind a lot of these podcasts, especially this kind, because this is my backbone, is being able to produce hopefully good content to be able to help you. Because the main thing I want to tell people is not some high, you know, pie in the sky, you know, something you can't, that, you know, obtain or that's unreachable for you. But I want to bring points to you to say, this is really how you do it. This is how you carry out the plans of God. This is how you manifest the things God's promised you. And that's why I want to be able to bring these things out in these podcasts. So I really hope and pray this ministers to you guys. I would once again really encourage you guys. Here's the key thing I want to try to bring out to you guys. Really want to encourage you guys, every one of you. I take all this stuff and a lot more incorporated and embedded in all these five books. So I would encourage you all, go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and when you do, put in Make the Vision Plain. Four words, Make the Vision Plain. Just put in those four words, and plain is P-L-A-I-N, just for those who, you know, might get confused. Make the vision plain, four words. When you put those four words in the search engine on my website, press the search button. When you do, it'll pull up automatically. You can download all five of those books as ebooks in seconds. You know, imagine back in the day, people, you know, said, oh, I don't know if I could wait three or four weeks. Well, guess what? Nowadays, you get it instantly. How cool is that? So there's no excuse. You can download them instantly, or you can order the books if you want to, paperbacks, and we can ship them out to you. No problem at all. But I want to tell you people, I want to let everyone know right now, you cannot be your worst enemy anymore. You've got to see who you are in Christ, know your potential, and make a move. If you don't make a move, guess what? It's not going to happen. I'll close with this one thing. I love this verse. When it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Many of you have heard me say this before. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Oh God, send me a wife. I'm begging you. I'm pleading you. Please don't make me get on websites, dating websites. Please don't make me go to singles meetings. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to go to the grocery store. Just bring her to my front door, God. You know, God's probably looking down at us laughing, thinking, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, what ignorance, what lack of knowledge my people have in them, you know? When God's like, you go find action. You go find what you're looking for. And I love that verse because there's not even any attachments to it. I mean, even though we know biblically, yes, you want to be able to have that kindred spirit. Yes, you want to be able to flow in your beliefs. Yeah, we get that, right? And that's true. But he's not even putting stipulations on this verse here. He's saying, go find a wife and you'll find a good thing. So the finding is the good part of it. Hello? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. You find and your finding is your good. So you can't beg, plead, scream, shout, give me a word, what's her name? Where's she going to be found at? That's not my business. You dishonor yourself when you ask questions like that to a prophet. You dishonor yourself when you ask questions like that to a prophet. You don't ask a prophet, what's her name? Where's she going to be found? What you're saying is this, I'm lazy and therefore I don't want to, you know, do anything. I want to disrespect myself because I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't hear from God. That's what you're saying to yourself. And I love you guys too much to allow you to do that to yourself. So that's why I'm educating you to say, no, you're smart, you're wise, you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Don't disrespect yourself. Go and find what you're looking for. Go out and find. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Go and find a wife and find that good thing God wants you to find. So see, everything in God's Word is requiring you to have action. And yes, sometimes marketing, and yes, sometimes advertising, and yes, sometimes busting your butt. But if you think the plans of God doesn't include any action on your part to do anything, you expect God to do everything, you got to remember this one thing. God is not your sugar daddy. All right? He's not your sugar daddy. He doesn't buy you stuff because you're young and he's old. Amen? Hello? So don't disrespect God by making him your sugar daddy. He is your heavenly Father who holds back no good thing for you. Honor him as you honor yourself. Listen to what God is saying, put action with it, and to get a vision of those plans. And buddy, let me tell you something, He's got some good plans for you. He got some good plans for you folks. So make it count in your life today. Once again, download the series today. Order the paperback books, Make the Vision Plain series. I'd love to be able to get it in your hands, and you guys would totally love it and eat it up. So as we close today, let me close with this, like I always do. And that is this. If you don't like your day, I have great news for you. I really do. If you change your thoughts of how you're thinking today, you'll change your whole life. Remember that thoughts become things. God bless you.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.